You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we did it, guys. It is the finale of All Stars Season 6. We have a winner, Kylie Sonique. Love, congratulations. We're going to break everything down from this episode and, of course, talk about the season as a whole. Let me bring in our fabulous panel first, starting with a man who I cannot wait to hear his thoughts. It is Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be at the end of another Drag Race season. It's been a long year for Drag Race. We had the longest season ever with season 13, and then we had like a bit of a month break right into All-Star 6. And I enjoyed myself for the most part for All-Star 6 because this really was the season where, you know, you didn't really know who could take the crown. And, you know, things kind of went a little crazy throughout the middle, but the ending is... We'll talk about it.
Okay. And of course, we also have a woman who I think has been really championing Sonique from the get-go, from our very first drafts. It is Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
Oh, honey, I am good. I'm happy. This was a great season. And even though we've had like the winner that we all cheered and championed for in All-Stars 5, like that was a clear winner, I loved that we had a final four that all could have a case for winning, that all could bring something new and unique, and the title would mean something. And so I'm really happy to break it all down in this last episode and celebrate Sonique a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we had talked about that it felt like anyone could win. And even Ginger in this episode says, I feel like anyone could win, or there is a case to be made that's justifiable for any one of the winners here. So I think everybody's kind of on the same page in terms of the strength of the season and the fact that it didn't feel like there was one person who for sure was going to win.
Yeah.
But Aman, I mean, let's get into it. All right. You alluded to this. Let me hear your thoughts on the result here.
So I'm obviously Kylie is a fantastic performer, is become like a sort of like reinserted herself into the wider fabric of Drag Race because, you know, as we know, the culture of this show is really picked up in the mainstream, and there are so many new and younger fans of the show that haven't gone back and seen the older seasons. I myself haven't seen all of the older seasons in their entirety, although I know all the star players, obviously. And so people hadn't really known who Sonique was. So it was great to see her come back as a more fully realized version of herself. And to be that out there and in your face trans representation on the show, especially with some of the things that RuPaul has been accused of in the past, and just like the queer community in general. So I think that in terms of representation and everything, Kylie Sonique Love, obviously wonderful, but I can't help feel that this win here felt a little stilted considering some of, first things first, the lip sync. Second, I do think that while there is a case for everyone to have been crowned, I do think that some of these wins in terms of competitions, some of them may be a little stronger than Kylie Sonique Love. So there's a piece of me that's like, ooh, I don't don't know if I'm entirely satisfied with this ending. I don't think it's she's a bad winner by any means, but I'm like, is she the best one? I don't know. And so I'm still, maybe with a little bit of conversation throughout this podcast, maybe I can be persuaded that way. But I don't know. As it sits right now, I'm kind of like, I don't know if she was the one that I was the most excited to see snatch the crown.
Mm-hmm. I'm totally in agreement with that. I don't know how you feel, Liana, with this or not, but I generally feel like I'm excited for Sonique to have the crown, for Kylie to have won. Mm-hmm. This is a huge message for her and for the trans community. But at the same time, there's a part of me that kind of feels like, is this a little bit of tokenism? And to a certain extent, and that's the part that makes me feel like a little like, ugh, because when I look at track record or the strength of wins, to your point, Amon, I can't help but feel like maybe Raja or Ginger should have probably taken the crown. Mm-hmm. But that is also, I'm not sitting back saying that Kylie did horrible. I am excited that she won. But there is a part of me that's just kind of like, I want to know what the criteria was. And if she, like, did she win because of the stumble and the way she recovered in that final lip sync? Is this the first time that someone
had a lot to do with it?
I mean, because honestly, like, if that's it, props, because that's like the one moment that stood out. But when I look at this, if I could be 100% honest, when I looked at the entirety of the last episode, when I look at the performance of the challenge and then the lip sync, Raja had me from beginning to end. Like, so that's so that's why I think like it's an interesting, I don't know, it's an interesting dilemma, because I am very, very excited for Kylie. This is one of those situations where we kind of sit back and go like, oh, this is the one time I actually probably would have been fine with a double crowning. But I'm really like, even then I feel like I probably would have been upset.
So yeah. I think for me, I hear what you guys are both saying, because I do feel that to a certain extent. But for me, I think I've gotten past the point where I personally, while I think the record should matter more than it does, I've accepted the fact that I think the track record gets you to the final four.
Yeah, I
think that's it. Once you get to the final four, then I think it is, okay, we need to not only think about your wins, but we need to think about the totality of what you represent. We need to think about who you are. We need to think about your growth. We need to think about what you represent. And do we want this person to have the crown? Because I think someone like Ginger, for example, is like such a consummate professional. But she's kind of in this rosé slot that we saw in the last season that was like, she's almost so professional that you're like, yeah, she'll be fine without it. Like, she'll be fine with the crown. She'll be fine. She will be her own representation. And Drag Race already kind of has her as a representative. But, you know, so then who is it then is that may fall under that next slot of like, who do you really want to represent the season as a whole? And I feel like Kylie is someone who has had such, I mean, not, and this doesn't discount any of the stories of any of the other girls at all, because those final speeches, I usually am like rolling my eyes. I'm like, I wish I could fast forward. From Eureka's, I was just like, uh-oh, I'm about to cry. And I felt like Kylie's also is just so impactful. And the fact that she's someone who was on season two before she had her transition, like when the show was in its infancy, when they were out doing the like trying to get people to buy pies and pole dance, like it was such a bizarre challenge.
She was so good in the pole dancing challenge. That's one of the things that sticks with me from season two is Kylie.
Yeah, and then like failed so bad and went home on the first ever snatch game to come back and go toe to toe with Ginger on this snatch game. Like, there's something really just fascinating to me about her journey, and I think she also just carries herself with such confidence, whether it is earned or not. I mean, we've all talked about like that win that she had. maybe not deserve.
And there were definitely, but there were other challenges where she could have won.
Right.
But it's just like this air that she just carries herself with, and the fact that she has come to find herself and have such confidence in herself, like that to me, that story is just so inspiring. And I wish everybody had that, because I know people in my life that just don't have that self-confidence, and it has nothing to do with their own ability. They're so good and they're so smart and they're so amazing, but just because they don't have that confidence in who they are and themselves, they will struggle and fail. And that's not, that's so frustrating to see. So I don't know. I actually, it took me a while to kind of not rationalize, but like really understand, I think, why she ended up winning. Cause when I definitely had the same reaction to the two of you, I thought I was like, Ginger's rosé, Ginger's not winning. I thought Eureka actually might win. Somehow, I don't know.
So did I.
Raja. So to me, Kylie was actually truly a shocking winner.
Yeah.
But then when I remember kind of what she stands for and what she's been able to do just as a elevated human being, I think it was in the podcast, because it's not there. What's the tea anymore? But whatever what was it called? The Inside All-Stars interview. Rue said something along the lines of that. Kind of what the confidence you have in who you are and the self-acceptance you have for who you are, that's kind of what everyone should aspire to be. And I think that is truly inspirational. So I was shocked. I was emotional, but I get it. I hear it. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. I see it. And I think I'm ultimately happy with the winner. And I think I will remember All-Star Season 6 also for just having such tremendous talent. So I don't discount any of the other girls. I mean, I don't even think Kylie did the best necessarily in this verse. Like,
she was third place for me.
Yes.
But to your point, though, this is one of the things that we've talked about in her acting challenges or lip syncing is like it's something that we also talked about with Yada and other people, is that it's like her face, sometimes her eyes can betray her, where she kind of is like, I'm concentrating, or is dead.
Yeah.
She was full of life in both the challenge performance and then in the lip sync. And I think that has to do with the confidence with which she was going to take that crown with. And I think that is what maybe RuPaul needed to see in order for her to pull out the win and complete the story arc. Because I think people could also say from a story perspective, Raja has an incredible story. And is in my, like, Kylie and Raja represent the comeback queen like no other. Eureka and Ginger represent the bigger, talented, consummate professional comedy. Like, there wasn't much that they grew from in this competition. There wasn't much that they came back and had to redeem, quote unquote.
I mean, when you make it to the end of your season as a final finalist in the final three, like, you've already proven that you can succeed as a queen and at Drag Race, and that they've been so involved in everything after the show. So yeah, I think that's truly a really good assessment of kind of both sides of the coins for all these queens.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
now what do you think of on?
It's been 10 minutes. How do you feel now?
I said that my mind was open to being changed and altered, and I definitely feel better about this win having heard that. I guess my biggest hiccup was the fact that I did feel like it wasn't the strongest finish for Kylie. Absolutely. So, and I think that's probably like where my heart narratively is like screwed up. I'm like, I want the unpredictability of it to last all the way through. And then I felt like at the end, I was like, oh, well, Kylie's clearly out now. And then when she wins, I'm like, whoa, okay. But I still agree. I think it really does matter. I mean, what we're learning more and more about Drag Race, especially with RuPaul, is that it really does. Personality and drive and story are such big parts of who takes these crowns. And to that effect, I mean, all of them have that case. And I think, you could make the argument a little bit more for Kylie because of the fact that, yes, history has a bit of this show has a bit of history with, you know, trans representation and the commentary around the trans community. And so to really be as inclusive as possible, you give it to somebody that does deserve it. And I think that, yeah, Kylie, I mean, she was here and she was queer and she made it happen, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I can definitely understand that. a bit more now. I want you to stick the landing, because I feel like a lot of the season's winners for the past few have really stuck the landing. Even the ones that I didn't want to win, I was like, I can't, like Aquaria. I was like, oh, I'm so tired of this bitch, but she delivered in that last lip sync. I was like, you got to give it to her. Like, so, yes. And the same thing with oh my God, I'm forgetting her name, Simone. So yeah, you gotta give it to her. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing too, is that if I look at this one episode, do I think that Kylie did the best? No. Mm-hmm. So and the lip sync recovery, I always love it when queens like are able to recover well. So that I did enjoy. But the verse, I thought there were other queens that had better lyrics that I enjoyed more. So I definitely hear that, because you want to feel like this is 100% the correct decision. And mm-hmm. by having somebody who comes in and sticks that landing where you feel like, and like you said, Aman, even if they are maybe someone you didn't want to win, at least you can feel confident in knowing that, yeah, they did do the best here. Mm-hmm. And so I think that for a little bit is up for debate in terms of who kind of won this last challenge.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, just to complete the story a little bit. And I know we'll talk about this in a second when we get into the lyrics and such, but I really feel like to complete the story of what she's trying to say and represent, if she had shied away from, and I understand, I love the fact that she did talk about having a Southern twang in her voice, but there's also a part of me that's kind of like, there's nothing else you want to talk about?
Representation.
Here.
What you stand for.
You don't want to talk about being a Southern trans woman and how that in itself is very like, hard. It's not like you're in New York City where, you know, it's a little more acceptable. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into all of that, because I do want to talk about all of these different verses. So, I mean, really, there's not a whole lot leading up into the challenge. So we know that the queens this week are going to be collaborating on the song This Is Our Country, RuPaul's new song. And he describes it as a love letter to the USA. And so they have to write their own lyrics. They also, of course, have choreo that they're going to have to put together. But before getting into all of that, they get a call from a very special celebrity. That's right. Tanya Tucker.
I don't know who she is.
Okay, I know. No. Okay, so I was like, oh, I know who she is because my mom definitely has her albums. And that was about. I was like,
I recognized her face. I was like, I don't know.
I recognize nothing. Her name, her face.
Really?
I'm not a country person at all. Okay. Well, see, here's the thing. I grew up in the country, like the country. And everywhere I went, country music played. And I worked at a diner one summer before my freshman year of college. And all they played was CMT on the TV. It was the same 10 songs all day long. Like, I understand that pop radio does the same thing, but if you represent an entire genre of anything that's like current pop all the way back, play more than 10 songs, to the point where I just was like, no. Country would come, I would just turn it off. I got so sick of country music. But
it always makes me think, so one of Bo Burnham's specials, he has this like whole rant about comedy or country music. And he's like, country music at its core is like amazing. And the truth, like Willie Nelson, yeah. Dolly Parton, but it's like stadium country is what he talks about. Anyway, it's hilarious. Google it. It's funny.
Well, pop country, you know.
Yeah, like pop stadium. Yeah,
he's and
like
country rock or whatever is like.
Well, mm-hmm. Tanya Tucker is like, I'm fine with the progression of country music. So she's going to be featured on the song, and the queens get to ask her questions. We've done this, you know, several times throughout the season. I'm curious to know if they're going to continue it. I mean, COVID shows no signs of stopping in the immediate future, so maybe we'll have to keep doing this anyway. I was going to say after COVID, but it might be a while till we learn about that. So,
Lucky Land Casino asking people, "What's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?"
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess.
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. And then, yes, Jamal Sims is back to do all of the choreo, and we get the performance. So let's talk about it. So they kind of had the queens paired up. Like, it felt like Eureka and Ginger were kind of paired together because they did their verses together and then did the chorus, or did their verses and then did the chorus at the same time. So, but first is Eureka. And she, when she's talking, Amon, in the workroom about, yeah, I want to make my verse smart. I was like, oh no. Like, no. Uh-oh, this is
a RuPaul song. You do not need to make it smart, honey.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I like that, but it, like, I feel like it just so rarely pays off because they can't really process. You need like one or two lines that are powerful, but you can't create an allegory, you know, and really try to like explain this whole thing. But look,
unless you are a lyricist by trade, like, I would steer, because I feel like most of the people that are actually talented at writing lyrics on Drag Race never make statements like that, like, I'm gonna make my lyrics this or that. They just do it and you're like, oh yes, queen work. So like, unless this is like where your talent lies, just try to make it, as you know, make it stand for something. But you know, it's camp, you're in drag, like, make it as campy as you can, make it funny, make it lovely, make it light, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did you think of she was able to pull it off?
I'm trying to find the lyrics right now.
Okay, yeah, I can read to you. So, because I think it actually worked okay, but I had to watch it a couple times to get it. Like, I think with this, you kind of want to be able to get it from the get-go. But her lyrics are, no Marie Antoinette's, I ate that cake. No Mary Queen of Scots, no Catherine the Great's. No room for social hierarchy. House the homeless, feed the hungry. Change the perception and forget the sample. She just needed a rhyme for a true queen lives and leads by example. Stand up, don't sit. Eureka, you found it. I feel like the top part up until like, how's the homeless, feed the hungry. I like that whole part because I think that's really consistent with kind of a lot of the whole like 1% billionaire Jeff Bezos essentially can buy the moon kind of thing. But then the second part, I feel like kind of.
The problem is we don't get a chance to see who she is in this song. She's just kind of rapping about socioeconomic inequality. And I'm like, yeah. Okay.
This isn't Schoolhouse Rock.
I'm a Bill. My name is Bill.
I do feel like it was a little disjointed towards the bottom half. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, it wasn't as horrible as I thought it was going to be, given her, like, what she talked about in the...
If she was going to take it in the direction of, I'm going to be one of these badass, like, women in for America and bring, you know, equality among drag or whatever like that. I mean, like, if she had tied it in somewhere like that and to make her a leader, I would have been way more on board. But because it was so disjointed, and honestly, her choreo was really lame. Like, I didn't even know that she had choreo until the end. I was like, oh, that was it?
Oh, she, like, took the coat off. What else did she do?
My point, exactly. I think she did some kind of like, hi. Like, I mean, like, it basically was like, da 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 da. Like, there was nothing going on. Like, to the point where I just literally was like, wait, I have to rewind this. And I watched it again, and I was like, she really just didn't have choreo like the other queens did. Like, she had choreo, but it just came off as like really simple and basic. Jamal Sims did not help her.
Also, the line about Marie Antoinette. So apparently the way like this is a like, I guess, a big misnomer when it comes to Marie Antoinette. Like, she never meant let them eat cake in the way that most people today think that she meant it. It was more of like, I don't understand why they're not like Marie Antoinette was completely unaware of how dire and how bad it was for the French people. And that let them eat cake comment was part of a larger, you know, conversation about like, I don't understand why they aren't eating cake. I don't understand why they can't have this. Like, what's going on? What are they so mad about? It wasn't like a laissez-faire. Let them eat cake. Yeah.
So, they can have it if they want. Go for it.
A little history, just a little history. Okay. I found that out a couple years ago and I was shocked. I was like, oh, really?
I Googled it. According to the Wikipedia, there's a specific Wikipedia page for let them eat cake. And this is what it says. And there's several citations. While the phrase is commonly attributed to Marie Antoinette, she did not originate it, and she probably never said it.
That's the other thing I thought that too. So, yeah.
But look, well, they can't Google. All right, you know, like, so I'll give Eureka credit. I would have.
Yeah, I'm not, you know.
I mean, let's.
I probably would have made the same thing. Yeah,
let's rewind to what 5 years ago when Detox had a whole verse called "Let Them Eat Cake." Oh, let them eat cake. Like, I mean, come on. Like, this is Drag Race. They're not into like historical accuracy unless it's like the history of Cher. So, you know.
In which case, then, no.
It's just crazy to think that, like,
we'll come for you.
It's like literally just like Marie Antoinette literally got canceled, like, had her head removed over something that she probably didn't even say. It's just like, whoo.
I mean, still true. Right. Yeah. But no, I mean, it's fine. She looks gorgeous. But yeah, I just, it's fine.
But then the outfit also didn't make sense for this challenge. I'll just put that out there.
You mean the first part like matched her verse and then she took it off. So it was like shedding.
And then she stopped talking about it. So I was just like, what is, yeah, I don't know. It was everything all the way around just kind of felt disjointed for me.
No. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But let's take a step back. Actually, overall, what did you think of the song, Beth? Like just in general. Okay. You're not a country fan, so...
I'm not a country fan, but this was not a country song. This was RuPaul going, I, and like, come on, there's like, it's my country. And I have to say, the other day I stubbed my toe and I went, ow, like that, just because it was in my head. I didn't mind it. I didn't hate it.
I feel like it's a little nod to Lil Nas X, to be honest. It's just, you know, an amalgamation of you know, pop, hip hop and country mashed together in one. And so, yeah, I feel like this is like RuPaul sending out a signal. Hey, Lil Nas, you want to be a guest host or guest judge one day? Come on down.
That would be amazing.
Honestly, I feel like there's no greater person to be the premier guest judge for season 14 of Drag Race. I mean, I feel like, I mean, it only makes sense. So
I would love that.
This
was very much Old Town Road. Like that is the feel that I got. Mm-hmm. So I hear, yeah, I totally hear that. Okay. Let's talk about Ginger Minge. So, Amon, what did you think about Ginger's line here? And her verse was a little bit shorter. Oh, my country, tis the tea, motherland to everyone who yearns for equality. Listen up. Freedom comes with responsibility. Be the change you want to see. You be you and I'll be me.
I mean, yeah, straight, simple, to the point. You know exactly what she's trying to get across here. You know, we're all in this together. Everybody here wants the same thing, and we got to work together to make that happen for everybody. Very sweet, simple, to the point. No qualms. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the signature Ginger stuff that we're used to. There wasn't a gag in there anywhere. But that's okay. She doesn't always have to be funny. So I thought
I don't know. Our country, tis the tea, was
well, that, yeah.
That's a joke. I mean,
that is, yeah.
No, but I'm totally with you. I feel like these were just generic lyrics that I would never have been able to attribute to Ginger in particular moving forward. You know what I mean? And that's why, to me, I don't think that she did the best in this challenge. I truly feel like if this was going to be a situation where we're judging the queens based off of, do the lyrics match you and what you have to bring? I would say no. Here.
It's just like whenever you think about challenges like these, you always go back to All Stars 2. And
yeah.
Was this anything like that? No.
Yeah, it was a little generic. So I do agree with that, because I feel like I liked, Beth, what you said about Eureka. That was, I want to get to know you also. I think I like it when queens have a tendency to interject or infuse themselves. So I could be like, yes, this was Ginger's verse. Like, this was Eureka's verse. And I just, it was fine. It was generic.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was fine. It's, of course, like, yeah, you know, equality.
You know what? It was smart. Okay, the way it was written was smart. It was fine, whatever. But it just was. And I love her look. And I loved the way that she was able to do the choreo and all that kind of stuff. But again, like, Jamal Sims, what was Jamal Sims on? Because I'm like watching this and I'm like, why is she like on the ground doing this to this song? Like, it makes no sense. Also with her lyrics, like,
do a little cat cow on the ground.
Yeah, I'm gonna do a little sexy cat cow, do some yoga in the middle of talking about equality for this country.
Downward facing dog, you know what I mean?
Like, okay. I don't know. I kind of just generally felt like, I was like, this is fine. This is okay. Great. You know, and I'm rooting for Ginger. Y'all know that I was rooting for Ginger, but I still was like, I don't know, girl. Like, I do think in the grand scheme of things, I know we're going to talk about Kylie coming up. I do think that her lyrics were better all the way around, but I liked that Kylie's were about herself and like bringing herself and pride to something else. So that's why, like, I have a hard time distinguishing if I want Ginger in third place or Kylie in third place, which one's going to be second place. Eureka was in fourth place for me.
Yeah, with Raja number one. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get into it. Let's talk about Kylie. So her lyrics were, I'm going to use my twang when I need to yell. And if they can't lower heaven, then we gonna raise hell. I stand real proud and so should you. Let's stand together in our red, white, and blue. Whoa. So yeah, definitely the shortest of all of them, although just barely. She just has one less line than Ginger. But she definitely took her time here. Aman, how'd you feel Kylie did here?
Well, I mean, she referenced the competition, you know, all of her sisters were telling her, you're not loud enough, you need to speak up a bit more. And she put that in there. So that's a nice callback to her journey throughout the season, which is the stuff that RuPaul likes to eat up. I do like the stanza, if they can't lower heaven, then we're going to raise hell. I don't know if that's like a common saying. If it is, I've never heard that before. And I kind of like that. So that's a score one for her, for me at least. But other than that, I mean, going to stand together, be proud. Yes, red, white, and blue. Yeah.
Yeah, baby. I think her choreo, maybe hers or Raja's, I don't know. I liked the bandanaography. I thought that was a lot of fun, but that's more Jamal Sims gave her that. Like, she didn't come up with that, you know? So I sometimes have a hard time deciding how I feel about the choreo, because it's like, well, Eureka didn't choose to have very little choreography. Like, right. Maybe she would have had more if she had had the option. But I thought it looked cool. I'm all about bandanaography.
Well, that makes me just wonder, like, why? See, like, okay, when I'm always going to think of Riji Rochu with All Stars 2. And it's like every queen was given a gag in that, right? You had Katya, who was bendy, so they're like pulling her in different directions and doing bends and all that stuff. Detox had the chairs. Alaska's getting pulled and carried from here to here. And Roxy had all the books and the fan and like all that kind of stuff, right? They've really pulled back from giving queens like each having a gag. Like, why did she get a bandana and nobody else did? Nobody else was given anything else. Like, it would have been way better. Why didn't everybody have a bandana thing? Like, that would have made it so much.
it feels like they focus a lot more on like the set pieces and everything, because I mean, Riju Rochu was just on the main stage, right? It was more so about the choreography, but now you got these sweeping cameras and these large sets, and some of them really look cool. Like the season 11 finale one, I love that one. That one was amazing, especially with, can never get the image of Evie Oddly bending back. God, that was so fire. So they can still be good, but I feel like with a larger focus on the set pieces, we definitely lose a bit of the choreo.
Well, even with like Kitty Girl for All Stars 3, I love that it was one single shot all the way through, like something like that. But each queen was still given, this is your part of the set to work with. These are the things that you're going to do. So you had Kennedy like in like the weird like cutout areas in the very beginning, the scenery. And then, you know, Shangela is like raising bars and dodging things as she's walking through. And, you know, you got BB at a sewing machine and Trixie's like coming downstairs and do so. Like they all had an area with which to work with that was like uniquely their own. Mm-hmm. And then they're all up on the stage together. This was just like, all right, you're going to stand next to each other with choreography that we gave you that's unequal. And then we're also going to go from whatever your lyrics are talking about, which don't tie into this song for the most part. And then we're also going to give you choreography in Ginger's case that have nothing to do with the song. So have fun. Now win the show. And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
I liked the do-si-do bit where they were just like, I don't know. That was like, I think it's tough also because when they do the cinematography for these types of shots are very like either zoomed in, sweeping, whereas with the main stage, because they're so used to filming lip syncs there, they kind of have all of these set angles and it feels more of a, The feeling is just very different when they have sort of this big stage, which I think showed up in season 10 for
American,
the final number. Yeah. For American there. So
yeah,
I guess you're used to it, but yeah, it's, you know, it's choice.
RuPaul is also like loves to recently, you know, I think of season 10, I'm thinking here, like also let's make this about America. Let's make my song about America.
It's a love letter to America. I believe that's what Rue said.
All yes. Right.
A love letter to the US of A. All right, whatever. Yay, go fracking. All right, let's talk about Raja. So Raja is, I'm going to assume, Beth, the queen that you had at number one, right? Because I think, and I agree with you, I think her lyrics... The one thing is that because her lyrics are so dense, it takes a little bit to get them all, but yes. I think I liked them the best ultimately.
So here's the thing. I completely agree with that. I would argue that Sonique's were the hardest for me to understand when she was singing / rapping them. I had a hard time understanding what she was saying. And that was like, which is ironic because she's talking about having a twang. So I literally was like, ugh. But then what I loved about Raja is that, you know, she's talking about a social identity that she represents, that she is a part of, that you can see herself talking about being Black in America and reclaiming what it means to be American by making it equal and a safe place for all Black people, as well as every single person who's in America. That is like, quote unquote, simple. It's to the point. You see that it's Raja there. I'm going to always remember that Raja's saying that. It was great. And then on top of that, she just performed the hell out of it. Like she did such a good job performing it. And she had this like cute gingham, like two piece outfit with the tall boots and like the red and blue, like faux fur thing up at the top. Like there was just like so many little elements to it that I think are fun. And it just, for me, she just outshone everybody.
I think for her lyrics, it's the queen on the scene. I'm gonna use my voice. Gotta stand when my people don't have a choice. Can't breathe, don't shoot, running through my brain. Nothing good on the news. This world's the same. Praying that we can just come together, stand in love and really shine together. Rep the U in the US, then add the A. Our colors stand true in the USA. I love these lyrics. I love the fact that, again, it's talking about these issues in the same way I think that Eureka wanted to, but it's from her point of view. So for example, the line, can't breathe, don't shoot, running through my brain. That's like from her perspective of how these issues impact her. And so that is, again, a way to be like, oh yeah, that's Raja's voice, not just you know, kind of general lyrics about these very sensitive and serious issues.
Yeah.
So Amon, I think for me, that was what really helped to solidify her for the, in the top for me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was specific. And you understood exactly what she was trying to say. And, I mean, it's a song about the USA, but the USA is different for everybody. And so, but I do like that she still said you have to represent yourself in this larger context. So that people can hear what your perspective is. And that's what she's doing literally in the song. So, I think she definitely had the strongest message out of the other threes that sort of relied a bit on platitudes. This one was specific. It was like, this shit's kind of fucked. But I'm still here. I just want us all to be here together.
And I love that we also got the confessional from her that says, like, I love America. But America's scary if you're black, if you're a person of color, if you're trans, if you're any combination of these different marginalized identities. And we need to work together to make sure that it is a place that everybody is safe here. Doesn't mean that I'm not proud of my country, but this is a place that the American experience, like you just said, Amon, is not the same. It is not created equal for everybody. And that's, I love that we had that confessional from her in this episode as well.
Okay, so that was the challenge. So we didn't really talk about the Inside the All-Stars interviews. I don't know if there's anything that you guys want to talk about from those. I didn't really have much. I mean, to me, it was just kind of like trying to get a sense of where RuPaul's head was at in terms of who I thought RuPaul was going to give the crown to.
Michelle spoke not at all throughout
that
entire thing.
That's the thing that I didn't like about that. I don't like that at all. Like,
why is she there?
And how much did they cut out from her? Because she obviously had to have been saying something. I just seriously doubt that she was just there, just sitting there the whole time. So they just cut all of her stuff. I'm like, I want to hear what Michelle has to say too. Like, she's supposed to be Rue's right hand woman, so show it. I don't know. It was just kind of weird. I kind of got also annoyed with RuPaul.
This has turned into Queens artfully trying to kiss up to RuPaul hour and not actually say anything. Like, I'm not saying that what they're saying isn't true, but the way that they're saying is like, you know, I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for you. And it's like, to a certain extent, yes, that is inherently true because you got on RuPaul's show and had a platform from that. Of course. Mm-hmm. However, I would redirect that to Michelle and say, if it wasn't for the tour that you helped lead and for the support that you showed, like there's a lot that RuPaul does not do for these queens after they leave. The basic of which is remembering their names. Like, RuPaul will not remember the vast majority of the queen's names. Now, for someone like Ginger, who is such an industry name and has worked with RuPaul on a set, that is very different. Like, RuPaul remembers like 10 queens' names. And if you like drop off that list, it's because somebody like bumped you, you know? Mm-hmm. Michelle is so heavily involved with the drag community, and especially with the queens who have been on the show before. She knows the queens that are coming up through a lot of the times. And I just generally feel like it's such a loss when we don't get to hear from her or hear the queens say things that are like positive about her. Cause I feel like there is a pressure to make it all about, thank you so much, RuPaul, for giving me a platform with which to grow and show my vulnerability and blah, 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 blah.
I think it's hard also when it's like, well, if RuPaul is making the ultimate decision, then it's like, I want to suck up to RuPaul specifically.
Exactly.
You know? So you kind of have this like desire to do that. Because, yeah, I think it was both Ginger and Kylie who both did that in their segments. The strongest, at least. Yeah. Okay. So, suck up competition over runway. Let's talk about the runway and then we'll talk about the final lip sync. So let's put these lurks back up here. Okay, so first up, Eureka. Yes, Beth has a visible reaction to this, so I'd like to hear what you think.
This is by far the best final look out of any of the queens. This was so good. This was so good. When I think finale of All Stars, this is the level I want to see. And I really don't think a couple of the queens brought it to this level. this was fantastic. Head to toe, fit her like a glove. Was an outfit that you wouldn't expect, but as soon as she rounded that corner, it looked so good on her. The Cher illusion, which you know RuPaul was living for and like, you know, having a moment.
Yeah.
The Bob Mackie of it all. I mean, this was perfection. This was so good on her. She looked beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Aman, what about you? Where do you fall? You agree?
I agree. I mean, Eureka has really, and I think they talked about it in the judging. She's really brought a lot of great looks to the competition. Some of them maybe a little too praised. Some of them were a little, I'm like, okay.
I'm with you on that one.
Yep. It's not the best thing that she's ever done. But yeah, I think that this is a beautiful culmination of all of the stuff that she's brought. Once again, representing that, you know, big girls don't just have to wear the same silhouette. You can switch it up. There's lots of stuff mm-hmm. that you can still do. And so, yeah, I love this. I love a good headpiece, man. I love a good headpiece.
It's really gorgeous and it's huge. I love that. Mm-hmm. I think her tits look amazing. I just want to touch them so badly. Of course, ask permission first. But like, she looks gorgeous. I think if I'm going to nitpick one thing, I just wish that because the skirt piece or like where, cause it's all one unit, right? But like where the skirt mm-hmm. hits her hips, I wanted to hit right in the middle of her hips.
It's like too low.
It's slightly lower. I just want to lift it up just like a little bit. But that, I mean, truly nitpicking. I think this is gorgeous. I'm happy she saved this because this really is a finale look. And her makeup, of course, looks gorgeous.
Her makeup looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, girl.
Okay. Speaking of looking gorgeous, Aman, this is the best, I think, the best Ginger has looked the whole season. When Ginger was like, I'm bringing the fashion this season. This is what I want. This is what I wanted. I'm happy that at least I got to see one example of this.
Okay, so.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Really?
You don't think so?
Well, hold on. Okay. I am trying to. There are some. Look, I've never really considered myself to be that well-versed in high fashion. I think that watching shows like Drag Race and Top Model growing up and even, you know, flicking my fingers through my fair share of magazines has somewhat heightened my sensibilities to high fashion. But there are still some silhouettes that I just never quite understand. And this particular rouging of fabric, like I can see some of the patterns. I can see what's supposed to be going on here. It's still not my favorite because it just feels, I feel like I have to look through the frump to get to what I'm supposed to see. And I feel like it's not well defined enough for me. But I understand what I'm supposed to be looking at. I want to make it known that I understand what it is. I guess it's just like not my cup of tea, but
the reason for that is because she's a shorter queen. If this was a taller queen, she probably wouldn't be quote unquote as swallowed up by the rouge. I think that's what you're probably getting.
That could also be a part of it as well. I do think that this is still like, even through my own difficulties with this dress, I still think that it is high fashion. It is still something that we don't normally get to see her do. It's more glam. It's definitely, I wish there was a little bit more, what's it called? A more of a storyline between the entrance look and the finale look, because she made it seem like she was like, I'm going to evolve the entire season two and I'm going to become this beautiful. I wanted like a Princess and the Frog moment, right? From frog to princess. And I feel like this did not incorporate that to them that I wanted, but that's just, once again, it's a little bit nitpicking on my part. I think that she looks beautiful. I think the wig is great. I think that the makeup is great. But it's just not my favorite. But you know, that's your turn.
No, I'm just dying at the idea of like having her half a frog outfit.
Final look.
Like, which I know that's not what you were saying. You were saying, but like, all I could think about is like a glamorized version of being
like Tiana. Like she went from sitting from lily pads to having a lily pad dress. You know what I mean?
That would have been really amazing. I totally agree with you. I just can't help but feel like she would have messed it up. I love Ginger. It just would have been a mess. No, I totally agree. I think that there's a couple things here that I absolutely love. I love the dress itself. I do think that because she's a shorter queen, like that was a point that I made earlier, that it does kind of feel like it swallows her in a little bit. And here's the point when I'm looking at, so those of you who are watching the video version, the picture on the left, The reason why I think it makes her look even shorter than she normally is actually comes down to the top strap of her shoe. If that didn't cut off her leg there, it would extend her leg a little bit more. And I don't think that you would have noticed it as much because, and I also just don't know if I like the shoe itself, like that color with this. It's a safe color. I wish she would have chosen a purple, a pink, or a blue to go with it. We also, like, this is Ginger's new hairstyle. Like, every time she has won something and had a good fashion moment, like, this is the hair that she's worn for this season. All of that being said, this is by far, in my opinion, the best she's ever looked on the runway on any of the seasons that she's been on, period. Mm-hmm. This is high drag for me. This has elements of camp, which we all know that she's a camp queen. And I gotta call out something. I saw this over and over and over online. And like, I understand if you don't want to root for Ginger or whatever, that's totally fine. But there were people who were like, Ginger is too camp, and that's not what this competition is about. And I was like, excuse me. First of all, fucking drag is all camp. So there's that. And secondly, like, this is RuPaul, who literally laughs at Utica making faces. Like, it's his competition, and he loves camp. So yes, camp is an important portion of it, and that you have to be able to, like, at least, even if you don't like it, like, recognize that camp has a huge part of drag. So just wanted to put that out there. But yeah, I thought this was beautiful.
The one other look that I think I really liked from Ginger was the camo one.
Yeah,
the patterns look, and it's the same hair.
It's the same hair.
It's the same wig.
Yeah.
So okay. I think in terms of the proportion thing, it's like she's got this brooch there, but because it's kind of hidden a little bit, I think that also, like, doesn't really separate her all that much. So I don't know how you can sort of change that to maybe create a little bit more of a separation. But I think, yeah, she's got what, like 4 foot something to work with. Like, she's tiny, right?
I mean, she is tiny. I'm 5'7" and I met her out of drag and she's probably 5'4".
Yeah. Okay. That sounds about right. Like, yeah. 5'4". So, but yeah, I don't know. It's, again, different bar for her, maybe.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Kylie's up next, really taking home this, like, red, white, and blue America theme with her look here. Beth, what did you think about this one for Kylie?
First, I have to say, I love the idea of reclaiming the American flag. As again, I grew up and I'm from a very rural Trump supporting kind of area, where you it's really hard to differentiate the American flag from one political party, the Republican Party. And I love this idea that we've had her and Scarlett this season talking about reclaiming the American flag for everybody. This is a flag that's supposed to unite us. It's supposed to represent everybody. It doesn't represent one individual portion. So let me, as a queer person, like, wear it proudly and show that I'm a part of this this country. So I love that. And I do think this is a beautiful outfit. This does not scream All Stars finale runway crown me look to me. This screams red, white, and blue runway theme, or pageant like, or something like that.
Season 13 promo look or season 12 promo look.
Yeah. And also those sunglasses look real cheap. So I'm happy she took them off. But I just like this to me is, I don't know. Like what I think about like Courtney Act doing the Australian flag look in season 6, and I'm like, I kind of preferred that, and like that was like a normal runway that Courtney Act did, and so like, but that was, and that was also like Courtney was amazing, had amazing runways and such, and also has a really beautiful body, but this was one of those situations where I just kind of sat back and I was like, this is not what I expect for like a
yeah that was another thing that I was like sticking the landing of it all. Yeah, I don't, I'm not sure what's going on here. I mean, I know what's going on here in terms of like what she's going for in terms of look, but yeah, maybe you have a train, you know, maybe make it into, turn it into like a larger gown. I don't you know,
like a big coat that then you take off, like a lady, what would you call, like a Lady Liberty coat, and then you like take it off.
Yeah, like give me a little more, give me more, you know, drag it out just a little bit more. But I mean, it's not, she looks gorgeous, you know, just not enough.
Yeah, I also kind of felt a little bit like if she came down on a normal runway with this, I'd be like, oh my God, love it. Gorge. Unfortunately, there's kind of this association with, okay, if it's the finale look, the best drag look, I expect something like big, bold, like what Ginger put out on the runway, like something that is a gorgeous silhouette, something like Eureka did, you know? And so this just, especially after those two, I think maybe didn't have the same oomph that maybe like she was intending. I mean, she's still, but it's hard because like she still looks fabulous, she looks gorgeous, like she looks so good,
she can wear anything.
I know, oh man,
she's so pretty.
Okay. Let's talk about our last queen, and that is Raja, who I'm sure made this and is coming out Amon in her signature purple.
Mm-hmm. I think her face just looks stunning. Love the hair. Yeah, what a talented seamstress. The fact that she made everything that she came in is just, I will always marvel at people who are able to create garments. I think that's just one of the most coolest things that you can do artistic wise. Yeah, I mean, it's very beautiful and it's lovely. It's definitely better than Kylie's, but I guess I am, even in my sort of distaste for Ginger's look, I guess I still want to just a little something. It's better than Kylie's, but I just wanted, I don't know, maybe a sparkle or something, or I don't know. But I think that she meets the criteria for, you know, last look, best drag. I think that it meets it. But I just wanted just a little bit more pop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think this is beautiful and simple and stunning. And I'm like, again, bonus points because you know that she made it. There's the little part around like the top bustier like part that comes up. Like it looks like it's not attached properly at some points. And like little things like that are a little distracting for me because I spend time going, is that supposed to be like that or not? And it takes me out of the whole look. I definitely think this was gorgeous. I love that she came out in her signature purple. I also, the hairline seems very far back to me, and maybe that's intentional and that's the way it's supposed to be in something. And maybe I'm ignorant about something, I don't know, but that just also kind of looked a little off. Like there were just little elements to this that made me feel like this doesn't like blend together in a way that makes me feel like, oh, wow, finale of All Stars. Like, it made me be like, oh, this is really good. Oh, except for look at that. And like, I just like that was the response I had. Right. So I definitely think that this was a really good final look. It just wasn't to the caliber. Nobody was at the caliber of Eureka, in my opinion. Right. But so then when I look at that second place, I'm looking at her and Ginger, and I think Ginger edges her out here.
In terms of ranking the runway.
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the leg cutout is just gorgeous, and it's so like, beautiful. It looks so good. And the proportions I think are really gorgeous as well. But I do kind of agree with that, like top bit, like right above her titties, because it's like, Like, it's shaped weird also. Is it a flower?
I don't know what it is. Is it a bat wing?
A bat wing. It's a bat wing. I'm sure that's what she was going for.
Yeah, she was going for Batgirl realness.
Yes. But no, I look, she looks stunning. I would also, when I paired up the looks, I put the two looks with Eureka and Ginger kind of in the same category, and I put Kylie's and Raja's kind of in the same category of, like, still gorgeous, but, like, a little bit underwhelming. But yeah, still gorgeous. It's just, it's tough because we've come accustomed to, with the finale looks, like, expecting so much more. So
totally.
Mm-hmm. But she made it, and props to her for that. Okay. Last but not least, the final lip sync. And we actually then get another set of looks from the queens here in the final lip sync. So we get Stupid Love by Gaga, which I thought was a really great song choice. I mean, you know, we know Gaga is tied to the show, given the fact that she came in and, like, gave so much feedback for the queens on season 9, I think. And so I'm happy that she allowed them to use her song here because I thought it fit perfectly. And we did the same thing that we think we did in the previous season that we started seeing, which is the individual lip sync. But thank God we didn't have to watch it four times. They intersplice it. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately we get, you know, Kylie being crowned. But I think the biggest story here probably is Kylie slipping on her jackety scarfy thing I'm on, but is able to recover.
Yeah, she's able to recover, and RuPaul is completely enamored by that fact. Well, I will say the one thing that Kylie has going for her is that, you know, in terms of, like, the lip sync song, she has the most chromatic look out of any of them. Like, that is something that Lady Gaga would be wearing at some sort of Chromatica tour performance, something. So mm-hmm. I felt visually I was getting all the cues that I needed. But, you know, a slip up is a slip up, and we've seen girls go home for things like that. So that's, like, where my biggest qualm was. I did think that it was an interesting choice in song. I mean, obviously, yes, it's Gaga and she's, you know, big in the queer community. But I don't know. I just wasn't expecting them to go for Stupid Love. I don't know what I was expecting, but it wasn't.
I also agree with that. I've genuinely liked when they make the final song of All Stars something that is a little bit more about emoting than it is about celebrating. Not saying that you shouldn't be celebrating that you made it to the top four or, like, bouncing around and having fun and doing acrobatics or whatever. I really like, like, you know, the All Stars 2 of it all, the All Stars 3 of it all, like let's bring it down and make it about, like, show us your intensity, show us your passion, and go from there. Now, we all know, based on, like, y'all know I love Trixie, I'm friends with Trixie. My final lip sync in the past has never made a difference if the person wins or not, because we know that Kennedy beat the crap out of Trixie and that's lip sync. This was such an interesting thing because I wish they wouldn't allow them to change from their finale looks like they did in All Stars 2. Make them lip sync in that. Make it a song that they're likely not going to pull out a trick, because if they do, then that becomes like, wow, you did that in that gown or something. Because now we have, like, Ginger, you look dumb here. I love you, girl. But, like, if she had been crowned in this outfit, like, girl... This hair with this outfit and those boots, like, what? Like, imagine you got crowned in that look over, like, that beautiful dress that she had just had on. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When I saw her in that, I was like, are you kidding me?
That was so bad. She turned the corner and I went, no, not corner. Like, they did a pan and I went, this looks like somebody did an off brand of Barbie, like, came. And I was just like, no, girl, no, you're about to win. And then, like, then she didn't win. And I was like, actually, okay, saving grace here. But overall, in terms of the actual lip sync itself, like, I, again, truly felt like when I watched, granted, we're only seeing little snippets and slivers of each person, I truly felt like Raja did the best. Sonique did really well. RuPaul seemed to be laughing a lot. And I have to assume it was at Ginger, because Ginger was doing, you know, Ginger's faces and such. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, and singing to the crown.
That was the new challenge. Everybody sang to the crown. About stupid love. I was like, no. This doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. I want your stupid love. I was like, no, that's not. That crown's not stupid, honey. Like, that's, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear the comments about the wanting to, especially because the final song performance is typically something that's like empowering and upbeat. So then if you want something contrasting with the final lip sync song to then see this kind of like emotional side. But I don't know. I love the song. So I was just like,
oh, no, I'm happy. That's like, I love that song. But it was a moment.
Yeah. Of course. All right. And then, of course, we talked about this, but Kylie Sonique Love is crowned the winner of All Stars Season 6. So that does it for us. Yep. Any other thoughts, team, on Drag Race, this episode in general, All Stars Season 6, whatever you want to air? This is the last time that we will be together for a little bit.
I truly don't know what they're going to do for All Stars 7. I mean, because I feel like they brought back so many people this season that people have been waiting to see come back. Like, Trinity's, she's done it now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ginger has been back for a third time and it still had not won. I don't think she's ever going to want to do this again. Eureka, I think, is done now. You know, and some of the later seasons, some of the biggest people. I mean, Soki's done it. Raj has now done it. Jan has done it. So now it's like, is it just going to be a bunch of season 13 and 12s? I mean, I guess there's Vanjie. There's always Vanjie, I guess.
There's a lot of queens. And I hope that we do start this trend of, and we started to see it with season 5 of All Stars. And now in season 6, we saw a few of them too. But like those kind of queens that nobody really thinks about, the India Farahs and such, bring a couple of those queens back and give them a redemption. There's so many queens from season 1 through 6 I would love to see come back. I know I don't think she'll ever do it. I want Ivy Winters to come back so bad. I think that she's very against the idea of coming back for All Stars, but that's unfortunate. But there's a lot of queens there. We know now that there's the International All Stars that's going to come out at some point. We know
I'm so excited for International.
And they just wrapped up an All Winners season. So there's a whole bunch of stuff.
That was real. That was like a real thing. An All Winners Drag Race actually happened?
It actually happened. So I know that got wrapped up. I know who's been cast on that for the most part. But I don't look at spoilers for like elimination stuff. So because that just ruins it for me. But they wrapped that up like a month ago. We're about to get overfed. It's like when you go out for dinner and you're like, oh, this will be, you know, what'd be cheeky? What if we had some dessert? And then you're like, okay, well, you're going to get All Stars in. Here's your dessert. And you're like, great. And then they're like, but here's second dessert and a whole a la carte tray. And you're like,
and then let's go get drinks afterwards. Yeah.
And then it's like 3 o'clock and you're like, I want French fries and pizza right now.
Exactly.
And
they're like,
Yeah, I mean, we are living in a very unique age of Drag Race where it's like it is everything everywhere all the time. But for now, we're going to take a little bit of a break and we will be back for whatever iteration of Drag Race pops up next. Who knows?
I wonder how they're going to do the International All Stars. Is it just going to air in every country that is being represented?
My guess like is the Olympics plus.
Yeah, but it's on Well Presents Plus.
I don't know if they then would end up showing it in other places, but like, because where is like Drag Race Holland is only on Wow Presents Plus. Like Drag Race España is only on Wow Presents Plus, right?
Down Under was
only on Wow
Thailand
Presents Plus.
Is, yeah.
Yeah. So
streaming is king.
And Holland just started. Their season 2 is on Wow Presents Plus, so. Which I still have not seen Holland 1.
I will say, so Thailand was hard for me also, and Holland, I got halfway through and then I never finished because it's so hard to watch Drag Race with subtitles because I like watching all the pretty colors and I can't read and watch pretty colors at the same time. I'm just a child when it comes to watching Drag Race. I'm like, shiny. But anyway, so look, all that content's out there. If you need more Drag Race, Wow Presents Plus is a great option. Of course, they have a lot of content on their YouTube channels as well. So we are always well-fed when it comes to Drag Race. Okay, let's get out of here. Amon, where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
You can find me everywhere at Amon Adwin. I'm still over on Twitch doing Harry Potter shenanigans and other types of whatever the hell shenanigans. And yeah, be on the lookout for more episodes of The Quiet Room for any of the geeks out there. They're coming, baby.
And Beth, what about you?
You can find me at AugustaWind11 on Twitch and all my social media. You can also check me out on My Weekly Meltdown, breaking down BB23 and just doing some fun chat show kind of stuff with my co-hosts, Tyler and Allison. And you can also catch me on Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zahner, also known as 8-Bit Dylan. As we break down, we just watched the first episodes of season 2 of Lost and the Nanny last night. And so excited to break into the next season of both of those.
And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. Work has been kicking my booty right now, so taking a little bit of a break from some of the Big Brother content coverage. But I did watch the latest episodes of Lego Masters. My sister and I did coverage of that. So episodes 8, 9, and 10, that's going to be out. And then the Big Brother B&B will be back at some point in the future to talk about Big Brother. So that does it for us. Beginning of a season. Look, we out of here, but the content does not stop. And if you would like to become a better part of RHAP, you can join the Patreon community and check that out over at patreon.com/RHAP or rabhuswebsite.com/Patreon. Leave star ratings and reviews for us. Be like, wow, what a great job they did this season. They just did such a great job talking about All-Star 6. You can leave all of those comments. rabhuswebsite.com/drag race. Thank you to Scott for all your help behind the scenes, and we'll be back at some point. We will pop into your feed to talk about more Drag Race. So thank you all, and we'll see you whatever next season pops up next. Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.